If you'd like, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. That's where we're going to be this morning. I'm just going to read two verses, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 37, and then we'll open in a word of prayer. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives." "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you that we can come and worship you this morning. Lord, we know we need your word. We need your word to cleanse us, to renew our mind, to, Lord, transform us into that image of Christ. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. We need your word and we need the grace of God that goes along with it. And we pray that as you minister to our hearts through the word today, that, Lord, we'll be softened and challenged and, Lord, willing to do whatever you would have us to do as revealed in your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, probably the most favourite story in the Bible for me would be the story of the life of Joseph. There is a lot that you can learn from this man's life if you want to study it out thoroughly. And there's certainly a lot of encouragement there as well. For Joseph, he went through a whirlwind and he came out the other side intact and with the right spirit. You know, you look at those tornadoes you see over in America and you think if someone ran into one of them, they wouldn't come out the same. You know, they'd be torn apart. But when it comes to circumstances of life, Joseph ran into one of those, or one of them ran into him, and he came out intact on the other side. When most of us, I dare say, wouldn't if we went through similar circumstances. Because for Joseph, particularly for the first 30 years of his life, it was full of what I would call highs and lows. He didn't have one of those steady lives like I like. I like just a life that you just plod along, and there's probably not too many exciting things, but there's not a lot of bad things as well. You just plod along and life is fairly normal. That's the sort of life I like. Where for Joseph, I'm not saying that he chose this way of life for himself, but it was full of very wonderful highs and also some really bad lows along the way as well. And I dare say that he was very confused half the time on what on earth was going on in life. And what I wanted to do is, although it's something that we're very familiar with, for the first part of the message is I just want to highlight the highs and lows of Joseph once again, because there is something that I want us to learn from these highs and lows as we go through it a little bit later on. Now, for Joseph, things started off very well. This would be called a high in regards to his life, and that he was the favourite son out of 12 boys. And that would be quite a difficult thing to achieve, but he enjoyed that. I don't know if it was through any work of his own or it was just through the heart of his father, but I dare say the competition to be dad's favourite would have been very intense, like it is with a lot of boys. But Joseph was the one. He was the favourite. And we read in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, this: "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours." And so we learn here in the Word of God that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children. And so we need to include the daughters in that as well. We often talk about the 12 sons, but there were daughters as well. And Joseph was the favourite or loved the most out of all the children. And so that includes the daughters. And that would have been a pretty difficult thing to achieve as well. You know, fathers can often have a little soft spot sometimes for their daughters. And not so too much. But for Ian, he's got a lot of soft spots. It's a lot easier. But when you've got a daughter, there's that protection mode that comes across you when you're a father. And so for Joseph, though, he was the favourite out of all of them. And I'm sure that brought about many benefits for him. We often think, well, he got that coat of many colours. And that's true. And that was something that he was able to show towards the rest of the family that, yes, he was the favourite. But I don't think it started and ended there. I think that was just a reflection of Jacob's attitude towards Joseph. I'm sure that he wasn't chastised quite as much as the other boys, being the favourite. I'm sure that Jacob turned a blind eye to many of the faults that Joseph had, where he would highlight these faults with the other boys. I'm sure that he was given a lot more praise. Joseph just had to scratch his head and, wow, look at how wonderful, you scratch your head, you know, where the other boys, they'd have to try everything possible to get the praise of their father. I dare say this is, if there was a true love of Joseph more than the rest, it would have been seen throughout everyday life in various circumstances as well. And so that was a high for Joseph. Not saying it was a good high, but it was a high. But then came a low, and we read that in verse 4 where it says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." We all know that it's very dangerous to show favoritism. All it does actually is cause division, and it divided Joseph from the rest of his brother. And we're told two things about his brother or their attitude towards him, and that is, first of all, very clearly, they hated him. Not a little bit annoyed by him, they hated him. That's how much they despised their brother. No love, no care, just pure hatred towards him. And then it says they could not speak peaceably to him. Now, as parents, we all come across that at times in our family where one member can't speak peaceably towards the other, where they're not nice to them, they're always being unkind to them, they're saying cruel things or so on. But that's the attitude that all the children had towards Joseph, where they could not speak peaceably to him. They didn't have a kind word to say to him. They didn't speak nicely about him when he wasn't around as well. They singled him out when it came to picking on and harassing. Joseph copped a lot because of the hatred that his family had towards him. And so at the home, things, I dare say, were pretty low for Joseph. When Dad was around, it would have been good. But once Dad was gone, everyone seemed to focus in on Joseph. Now, we know also that he had that high where God gave him those wonderful dreams, telling and revealing to him that one day that his family would bow down to him and worship him. Probably not a real smart thing to go and tell the rest of the family, though, especially the feelings that they have towards him. But out of his excitement, he went and shared that with all of them. And so this wonderful high that came about because God gave him these prophecies, really, or visions, brought about another low because the hatred towards Joseph intensified to the point where we know that when they had the opportunity, the brothers actually wanted to kill him. Let's not forget that. They didn't. Their first thought wasn't, let's sell him as a slave. It was to kill him. Let's just get rid of him. Now, one of the brothers were a little bit softer towards Joseph in that regard, and so they chose to sell him as a slave instead. And so Joseph, the favourite son of Jacob, the one who God gave dreams to, ended up being sold by his brothers as a slave. Now, I think we all would put that down to some extraordinary affliction. You know, these aren't what you call mild, normal things that happened in his home. You know, brothers and sisters can be harsh towards one another at times. There can be harsh words. But this is out of the ordinary. And people at times do suffer things out of the ordinary. All of us would have similar offences and hard times, you know, some things that may have been said at home as we're growing up, things that our parents may have done towards us, or people, the way people have treated us, and they are ordinary things, things that all of us suffer. But some people go through extraordinary things. They suffer things that most people don't usually have to suffer. These are out of the ordinary troubles in their life. Some of you have had that, I'm sure. And that was the case with Joseph. He couldn't just sit around with others as he's going to Egypt and say, yeah, my brothers, you know, they've been a bit mean to me, and everyone has similar circumstances they can talk about with their brethren. Now, this is an extraordinary thing to have happen to you. And I'm sure as he was on his way to Egypt, Joseph felt very low. I don't think we should put him in this picture that he's got this lovely smile as he's going to Egypt, like, yes, God's all in control and I'm not worried a little bit. I don't think that was the case at all. I dare say he was very scared, he was very confused, and he possibly could be very angry as well of what had happened there. But when things seemed as though there was no hope, then came another high in his life, and that is he was bought by Potiphar and found favour in his eyes. Over in Genesis 39, we read in verses 3 and 4 this. He had been bought by Potiphar, and it says in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him oversee over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And so things are starting to look up for Joseph now. He wasn't just an ordinary slave. He was head over the house of one of the most important men in Egypt. And that would have brought a lot of benefits. I dare say that he would be enjoying life a lot more comfortably than what he would have been if he was back with Dad. This would have been a very comfortable life with a fair bit of power brought alongside it. And so things were up on a high once again for Joseph. Things are starting to look up. That was until he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And we see in Genesis 39 in verse 30, we read the outcome of this in chapter 39. Verse 20 it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. And so now things are looking really bad. You know, having the captain of the guard angry with you is a bad thing, if you're wondering, you know. Having the captain of the guard, this guy wields a lot of power in Egypt, and for him not to believe your story is a bad thing. And he was in a lot of trouble, but we need to remember he was in a lot of trouble due to no fault of his own as well, which would have compounded the situation. I've noticed that, you know, some people have a lot of problems in their life. They have a lot of things go wrong in their life. But often it's due to their own sin or stupidity. You know, you even have to just go through some areas of our city here in Bendigo and you see the troubles that some people are going through. But you trace it back to the alcohol that they consume, the drugs that they are consuming, the way of life that they are living, and you can trace back all the troubles in their life to some sinful action or some stupidity in their own life. And so for many ways, they have nobody else to blame but themselves for the state they are in. But Joseph didn't do anything wrong. And that's what we need to understand. In fact, he stood against evil. He was actually in that prison because he did the right thing. But doing the right thing made him suffer for it. And so he was put in this dirty, dingy, miserable prison for no crime of his own. And so now things are low again. Now, I don't know if you want to call it a high that he found favour in the eyes of the prison guard. And so he was got to sort of rule in the prison. I don't know if that was much of a high, but sort of a high. But there certainly was another high that came along, and that was the hope of release. Once he interpreted that butler's dream, and the butler said, look, I'm going to remember you when I get out, and I'll talk to the Pharaoh, and he'll let you out. And so his hopes were again lifted. A possible high coming along. But we read there in Genesis chapter 40 in verse 23, it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. All right, once things got good for the butler once again, once everything was back in place, he completely forgot about that person that actually helped him and encouraged him at that time. He completely forgot what he told that man that he would do. And so, in the few things that we have seen so far, we see that all throughout Joseph's life, everyone that he came into contact with let him down. His father let him down by showing favoritism. His brothers let him down by hating him and selling him off as a slave. Potiphar's wife let him down by lying about him. Potiphar let him down by not believing him. The butler let him down by forgetting him. Everybody that he seemed to come into contact with let him down. You would imagine that Joseph was starting to have a hard time trusting people. If I get close to this person, they're going to hurt me and let me down somehow. You know, I hear that a lot already in people's lives today. But this is how Joseph would have felt. And what I want us to first notice today is the ways that people hurt Joseph and let him down are still usually the ways that people hurt us and let us down. The hurts experienced even today from others usually fall into one of these categories, I've noticed. For example, some people act like Jacob towards us. That is, a lot of people, their pain comes from their father or their parents. You know, their parents act in a sinful, evil way, in one way or another, and the children have to suffer because of that. And you may be sitting here today and you know that you have suffered simply because of the sin of your parents. Maybe you're still suffering because of the sin of your parents. But that is one way that often hurts and pain come into our life due to simply the sins of our parents. You know, some people act like Joseph's brothers. They hate us and they do everything they can to bring us down and make life miserable. Now, for us, it may not be literal brothers and sisters, but this hatred towards us may simply be because we're a Christian, or it may be because of our personality. They just simply don't like our personality, and so they seem to turn on us, maybe at work or wherever it may be. It might be because they're jealous of us, but at times people don't like us, and so they will say unkind things, they will do unkind things, they will just seem to want to make life hard for us. Sometimes people act like Joseph's brothers. Some people act like Potiphar's wife. They tell lies about us to make themselves look good. You know, we know that she was just trying to cover up her own sinful actions, and so she dumped everything onto Joseph with a lie. And oftentimes we have to suffer simply because of the lies that people tell about us, where often they may be even trying to cover up their own lies. They spread rumours. They tell lies. They make out, or they only tell their side of the story and make us to sound bad or whatever it may be. But often we suffer because people act like Potiphar's wife, where they tell lies about us. Some people act like Potiphar. They don't believe us when we tell the truth. Isn't that awful when you actually tell the truth, even though it's going to hurt, maybe, and you still aren't believed? Or you've done the right thing, you've been just and holy, and you stand for the truth, and people don't believe you? You know, that's a hard pill to swallow. Some people act like the butler, and they forget us. That's what it simply said, and he forgot him. And although this is probably doesn't go into the same degree as some of the other things, but it hurts when people forget about us, doesn't it? We've all been upset because people have hurt us in that way. You know, they said they'll give us a phone call, but they never did. You wait all day for them to ring, but they never ring. People invite others over for something, but they don't invite you and you're one of the only ones left out. That hurts. I know it does. You know, people show lots of attention to some people, but they never seem to show attention to you. And the list could go on of how you get hurt because people forget you in one way or another. We all know what it's like to be forgotten. And it's not nice. And Joseph experienced all of these things in his life. The only difference with Joseph is when people hurt him, it seemed to have a greater bearing on his life. You know, that's the difference. You know, has anyone sold you into slavery because they don't like you? You know, I don't think that's happened to any of us. I don't think anyone has actually literally plotted to kill us because they don't like us. They might try and do other things to hurt, maybe at work, if someone doesn't like you or whatever it may be. But none of us have experienced that. None of us have been placed into prison because someone told a lie about us. None of us have experienced that sort of thing. Now, when people hurt us, generally, it hurts our pride, hurts our feelings, and sometimes, when extreme cases, that's when it may hurt, like it is with Joseph. But when people hurt Joseph, it changes the direction of his life. You know, here he is, he's going this direction. He probably, maybe when he was with his father, he had his life set out. Boy, I'm going to do this and I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, because of the sin of some people, it's changed a completely different direction. And then when he's with Potiphar, I'm going to do this and I'll do that. And then because of the sin of someone else, completely different direction again. Always seemed to be having such a major effect on his life when someone sinned against him. He'd be on a high and then it'd just be cut down. Now we do know though, but when it came to Joseph, that things finally got better for him. It'd be a sad story, wouldn't it? If it only stopped at the prison. That was it. We'd say, is God really in control? Did he really know what he was doing? Now we know that God was in control, but if it stopped at the prison, we would have to wonder sometimes, would we? But we shouldn't still change that mind that God was still in control, because he was. And sometimes our lives finish with the prison. We don't see all the wonderful effects that God is going to use through the hard things that we've went through. Sometimes they're hidden, but we still have to be assured that God is still in control. But for Joseph, he got to see it in his life. He could look back and see that God was in control because the butler finally remembered. We know that he got him in to tell the dream of Joseph. And then Joseph being able to tell the Pharaoh the interpretation of the 7 good years and then the 7 lean years, that he enjoyed great power due to it. If we turn over to Genesis 41, we see that. In Genesis 41 and verse 39, we read the outcome. It says in chapter 41 and verse 39, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph took off, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put him a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." It goes on, says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." And so now he is on an amazing high. This is the highest he's been. Now he's second in charge of the amazing empire of Egypt. He was given everything that the world could actually offer at that stage. He was given a wife. He was given riches. Ladies, notice I put the right order. He's given a wife. And then he was given riches. In my notes, I have it the other way around, but I changed it. Wife, riches, honor, and power. That's about all that you can have in this world, and Joseph got it all. This is better than being the jailer's favorite. All right? This is better than being Potiphar's favorite. And this is even better than being Dad's favorite. Now he has the ultimate high that anyone could ever have. And I did wonder, I do wonder if Joseph ever laid in bed and think, oh, when is all this going to go wrong? You know, what's going to happen? Who's going to mess this up for me? You know, someone's going to come along. Maybe the Babylonians are going to come down and take over us or something. But when is this all going to go wrong? We usually feel that way, don't we? When everything's going well, when is something bad going to happen? But we need to rest in the sovereignty of God, that He is in control. Regardless of what happens, we know that God is still in control. And God was in control of this. But brethren, the thing that impresses me so much about Joseph is how he responded to those that hurt him once he got the power. That's the key. How he responded to those that hurt him once he got the power. Beforehand, you can understand him being a very humble man in prison or in Potiphar's household. But now he is second in charge of a lot of the world. Now he can do whatever he wanted. Now he can hurt whoever he wanted. And if you were someone that hurt Joseph along the way in the past, I dare say that now you'd be feeling a little bit nervous. Wow, that guy, he's in charge of everything. He can have my head if he wanted. Most people would have been rather nervous, because most people, when they get hurt by others like Joseph did, they get very angry. And often that turns to bitterness, and that turns to resentment, and then that turns to an overwhelming desire of revenge. And if someone gets in a place like, or having so much power like Joseph, generally they inflict the revenge that they have been seeking for all that time since they've been hurt. And many of them, most people would have got Potiphar's wife and put her in prison to see what that's like. Would have got Potiphar for not believing them and stripped him of all of his duties. Maybe stuck him in prison as well. I dare say they would have sacked the butler for forgetting them, and then they would have rallied around a legion of soldiers and sent them down to the brothers, and you slay every one of them. You slay them and make them suffer. And if you look at many of the other rulers that came to power throughout our world's history, and how when they came to power, they inflicted revenge on everyone that hurt them and their family, you would see this is the normal way people respond. But Joseph didn't. Joseph showed love and compassion and forgiveness, when most people would do the opposite. And you know, that is a question we have to all ask ourselves. And that is, if we were Joseph, how would we have acted? Once we got the power to hurt, how would we have responded? You know, a good way to find out is to ask yourself how you respond now when you get hurt. When someone says something nasty to you, do you back to hurt them? Or do you forgive and love regardless? When we have the opportunity to hurt, when we have been seek revenge when we've been hurt, do we take it now? Because if we do, that's probably a good idea of how we would respond if we were in Joseph's predicament. We need to ask ourselves that. Do we get angry? Do we get bitter, get revengeful, and then inflict it when we have an opportunity? Or do we act like Joseph? See, I believe that when Joseph left Pharaoh that day, he knew he had a fresh start. You know, he had a new position, he had a new wife, he had a new home, he had new responsibilities, he had a new life. And I'm sure that he was determined to lay aside what had happened in the past and start afresh. No anger, no bitterness, no revenge. Now, I believe that was the reason because of what he called his first son. If you turn over to Genesis 41, this is something we often miss when we read the story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41 in verse 50, in the first part of the verse we read this, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine." Drop down to verse 51, it says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh." Now, why did he call him Manasseh? Well, the word Manasseh means forgetting, all right? forgetful or forgetting. And there was a reason for that, because it goes on to say, "For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." The Lord, said he, had made me forget all my toil, all those terrible things, and to forget my father's house. Now, I don't think for one minute saying that the Lord's caused me that I can't remember my father anymore and they're gone out of my life and so on. That's not what it's talking about. It means that he is able to forget the sting and the pain and the hurt that took place. He has forgotten those things. He had forgiven his family and those that caused all that toil. The Lord had, as he said, helped him forget. And we can tell that this was the case from the reaction when he met his brethren those years later, 7 or 8 or 9, 10 years later. The reaction when he met them was compassion. He didn't see them and think, finally I can inflict all these angry thoughts that I've been having towards you for the last 10 years. No, he actually showed them what was in his heart, and that is compassion towards them. And I dare say it would have been very difficult for those who had hurt Joseph to be near him, particularly when they experienced his compassion and not revenge. Could you imagine being Potiphar? He would have gone to the palace, he would have had banquets there, but could you imagine how awkward Potiphar must have felt when he meets Joseph? "Yeah, about that prison thing and, you know, not believing you. I hope we're all right there." I'm sure he was waiting for the executioner to come out. Could you imagine being Potiphar's wife? I dare say she would have come to some banquets. Imagine how she would have felt as well. Could you imagine how nervous the butler was feeling those first few days? "About that forgetting you for a few years, you know. I hope you're, you know, shaking as he's pouring the wine," and so on. And we know how he acted towards his brethren. There was not one inkling of revenge, just love. There's no sign or record of revenge. Instead, he had a far more amazing attitude. And it's an attitude that we all must come to if we want to be able to enjoy God's grace and blessing upon our life. This is the attitude that we need to have upon those that have caused us hurt in one way or another. And this is the attitude. It's found in Genesis 45. In Genesis chapter 45, and in verse 8, this is what he said to his brothers. "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." And verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." Do you get what he's saying here? It wasn't you that sent me, it was God. God used you to fulfill his perfect will in our lives. Now that's pretty hard to imagine. But we see here that Joseph could see the big picture and see God's sovereign will in charge of everything that took place in his life. And we see here that he wasn't angry with God, and he wasn't angry with his brethren. And that's what made it so easy for him to forgive them. Now, brethren, that's something we need to ask ourselves. Have you ever thought that those who have let you down in your life, those that have hurt you in some way in your life, those that treat you or have treated you terribly, have you ever thought that they were allowed by God, and maybe even, well, I shouldn't say maybe, even used by God so that his perfect will could come to pass in your life? Ever thought that? Where he allowed those things to come happen so that he can bring you to that point of salvation where it would not have happened any other way. or where he could help you to grow as a Christian and be refined in ways that it would never have happened otherwise, or where he could turn and put you in a direction where you would never have gone otherwise. And so in his sovereign will, he allowed those things to happen. You know, too often we don't want to look at the big picture and accept that God's in control. Now, I do remember there was someone that I looked up to, and I still look up to, and respect his opinion immensely. But I was at the point in my life where he could say anything to me and I'd believe it. I just had so much respect for him. And then one day he did something that I knew was 100% wrong, and he would not admit to it. And I actually confronted him about it, and there was an argument about it. And that day I walked away and I thought, this guy's not perfect. He actually does do the wrong thing. He doesn't always get things right. Now, I could look back and say, that's a terrible thing, but I've forgiven him easily. But that day, the Lord just used that little occasion to make me trust him, the Lord, more than a man. That men will let you down, men sin. We are not perfect. We need to place our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And so we need to often accept or see the big picture. Sadly, sometimes though, we would rather stay bitter and angry with those who God has planned to ultimately help us. But Joseph didn't. And when he met his brothers, those that hated him, those that never spoke kindly to him, those that wanted to kill him, those that ultimately sold him, he says to them in chapter 45, in verse 14, he says there, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. You know, that wasn't how it would end with most people after they meet up with those that hated them so much. But here there was weeping, there was love, and there was compassion. The Lord helped Joseph to forget and to forgive all the toil and all the hatred within his family. And I was just thinking about the life of Joseph, how this is the start of a new year, the first weekend of a brand new year. I thought it would probably be a good thing not to have a New Year's resolution, but to make this our day of forgetting. Probably that's the best thing you can do on the 1st of January. Make that the day of your forgetting, your Manasseh, where by God's grace, I will forget the pain and the sorrow of last year, and I will love and forgive as he deems best. And I trust that you may be, if you've been hurt by others, be willing to allow the Lord to give you the grace to do that as you humble yourself. You might need to ask the Lord to forgive you for having an unforgiving spirit. You might have to ask the Lord to give you the grace to obey him. But if you want to be able to have a story like Joseph in your life, this is where it is so needful. If we had the life of Joseph, but he that day, instead of weeping and talking with his brethren, he slew them all, we'd think, what a very revengeful, evil man. But by God's grace, he showed forgiveness. I wonder if that would be the story that would be told in the Word of God if the things that we do, say, and think were revealed with those that have hurt us. Well, you know, if we want to enjoy God's blessing, this is the place we need to be. And I trust that we can make this our Manasseh this day. Let's pray. Father, we know that all forgiveness is really possible, only possible through the grace you give us to obey you. And we know that you have commanded us to do this. And so, Father, it is possible. And, Lord, it is needful. And, Lord, all of us have been forgotten. We've been hurt. We've been had people say things, do things. But, Lord, I pray that as a local church, we would be able to put them under the blood and, Father, show the love of Christ that amazes the world. And, Lord, we know that it is only this love that will make people see that surely, truly, we are his disciples. I pray and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.